This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين my beloved brothers and sisters السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين always forever begin by praising Allah نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله we testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى and we send our love and our greetings our salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his pious and his pure family to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be amongst them may Allah assist the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam may Allah help the brothers our brothers and sisters in Gaza and in Palestine and throughout the world ameen ameen walhamdulillah alhamdulillah we continue our series on the first man the coming of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and I said It's a story which we all knew. We grew up with this. Our grannies, our grandparents taught us the story. But perhaps now that we are adults, we can reflect more deeply on the story. We can ask questions like, why did Allah create us? What does Allah want from us? What is the difference between what we believe and what other religions believe with regards to the story of Nabi Adam? And one of the issues that comes up, and when we talk about the creation of the world, because we are creationists, We believe in the fact that there is a creator. And in fact, scientifically, we know, the scientists know with certainty that the universe had a point in time when it did not exist and then it came into existence. The universe has been created. The universe has been created. In fact, the scholars, the philosophers, the Muslim ulama or the people of belief used to debate with the philosophers of old around whether the universe had a beginning or not. And it was all a philosophical discussion, never a scientific conclusion until the last 100 years that the astronomers discovered the Big Bang and all of this, that there was a time when the universe did not exist. So we know that definitely the universe has been created. That is confirmed scientifically. Now if we talk about life, where did life come from? And we believe, of course, that Nabi Adam was created and placed on the earth. And this kind of conflicts or comes into question with the theory of evolution. Let me just take this tangent for a minute. What is Islam's belief and view with regards to evolution? We cannot deny that there is overwhelming evidence in biology, in science, that there is something called natural selection. Why does the giraffe have a long neck? Such an awkward looking animal. Why? Because it is in a competition with the trees. The trees tries to grow, so the giraffe can't reach it, and the taller giraffes do better, and so the taller giraffes have better offspring, and so the giraffes are continuously getting taller, and the trees are getting taller, and so they have this competition with one another. And so this is them evolving. We saw this with coronavirus, whatever your view is on COVID and whatever it is, but there was always a new strand, you know, a new, what do they call it? I even forget the term, subhanAllah. A new strand of the virus emerged. Wait, what happened? It changed, it mutated. So we see mutations and changes. And of course, science or the scientific fraternity came up with a conclusion that all life began sort of on its own and it evolved from little tiny single-celled creatures to complex creatures to fish. Those fish then exited the oceans, and it became land creatures and dinosaurs, and then eventually people came. And that man actually is a product of evolution, like all other creatures. And we even have, deeper than that, we have scientific evidence of human-like creatures. Yeah, in South Africa, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they discovered a cave, Homo naledi. People-like, they're not us, they're not humans, not Homo sapiens, but they are creatures that look like people, and in fact they had language, they even had rituals of burial. Is this humans? This came before what we would say before Nabi Adam. What is our belief with regards to this? Islamically, we don't deny the theory of evolution. We don't deny, and in fact, if you look at the Quran, Look at what Allah says. Allah says, Wallah, Allah khalaqa kulla dabatin min ma', that every living creature, the word daba means everything that has life. Every living creature, whether people, whether animals, all of it has a common origin of water. Allah says, all of living life, Allah created with water. فَمِنْهُمْ from these creatures, مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَى بَطْنِهِ it crawls on its belly. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَى رِجْلَيْنِ and some who crawl on, walk on two legs. وَمِنْهُمْ يَمْشِي عَلَى أَرْبَى and some that crawl on, walk on four legs or more. يَخْلُقُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ Allah says, I create as I please. I have diversity in my creation. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ and Allah has power over all things. Allah has not denied. And it's interesting if you look at the transition in this ayah from water to crawling something, from swimming, crawling. It almost, Allah alam, if we want to read evolution into it. But what we do say is that Nabi Adam was not a product of evolution. And that is why Allah says to Iblis, why have you not bowed down to the one which I honored by creating directly? So if you will, lillahi al-mathal a'la, we have this machine that puts out products and it's on autopilot. And every now and then the products change and it puts out more and new advanced products. The owner of the factory, you know, he's the greatest, say furniture, it's a furniture factory. So this amazing carpenter, he created the machine and the machine just pushes out furniture, chairs, and then it changes the color of the chairs. Then it has a different textile and whatever. Then the carpenter says, you know what? I'm going to make a special chair with my own hands, handmade. I will do it, not the machine. We don't give Allah analogy. But this is exactly what happened. What we believe, that Nabi Adam is not a product of evolution. We believe in evolution. We believe that everything on earth that we see here came from an evolutionary process. But Nabi Adam was sent down from the Jannah. And we are a product of that. That's where we come from. And that is why our purpose in life, today's lecture is actually, the title is Surviving the Earth. Our job is to survive and get out of this place. That's what we need to do. We need to get out of this place and return home, which is Jannah, where we belong. Amen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about mankind, Allah says that He has created man fi ahsani taqweem. I created you in the most perfect fashion. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ But then we return to a very low state. We return to a very low state. And so we found ourselves having a very lofty origin. But then, as we mentioned in the last two lectures, Nabi Adam, alayhi salam, he made a mistake, and he was sent to the earth. There's a beautiful, interesting hadith, and I take a side note here, interesting hadith about Qiyamah. Now, for those of us who know Nabi Musa is a very forthright kind of person. He doesn't have much tact in the way he speaks. And there's a hadith, and Nabi says, on the day of Qiyamah, we will see Nabi Musa searching, and he will say, where's Adam? Where's Adam? And then he would find Nabi Adam and he would say, are you Adam? And Nabi Adam would say, yes. Are you the father of mankind? He'll say, yes. Are you the one Allah created with His own hand? Yes. And you were commanded not to eat from the tree? And then you ate from the tree and now we're all here in this mess? There's a hadith like this. And Nabi Adam will say, yes. All of it is true. But then Nabi Adam will respond and he says, don't blame me for something which Allah had decreed for me before I was created. Now, we don't say that the sin. We never ever say, Allah decreed I was going to commit zina before I was created. No. Nabi Adam is saying to Nabi Musa, the plan was always for us to come to the dunya. And Qiyamah was always part of the plan. Whether I ate or not, that was never the issue. It was a lesson for us to learn. What do we do when we commit sin? Allah said from the beginning, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً I intend to place on the earth mankind. We were never going to escape this place. We were never going to escape Qiyamah. So don't blame me for something which was out of my control. And as the ulama said, he didn't say, are you not Musa, the one who Allah spoke to? The one who killed somebody? You know? Nabi Adam didn't respond in that manner. None that will respond in that manner as part of the future, hadith about the future. So we were always meant to be here. And so Nabi Adam finds himself in the dunya in a very vulnerable situation. He was alone for a while, but then he made dua. And beautifully Allah says, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمْ مِنْ رَبِّي كَلِمَاتِ Adam received a response from Allah. That fa in the ayah, فَتَلَقَّى, that fa means immediately he received a response from Allah. فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ And immediately Allah returned to him and forgave him. إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ Allah says, verily Allah is the most merciful after returning. And Allah then said to Nabi Adam, you will stay here on this dunya, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ You and your progeny, you and your family will stay here on the earth. But then when that guidance will come from me, I will not leave you and your family alone. I will send you revelation. I will give you guidance. I will send you instructions. So, whoever follows my instructions, you don't have to feel scared in this dunya. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be stressed out. Don't worry. And you will not feel scared in the dunya, and you will not feel sad in the akhirah. You will succeed. I will give you a blueprint of how to survive this hostile environment, the jungle. I'll tell you how to do it and how to get back to the garden. Then Allah also says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. But as for him who disbelieves and belies and rejects my guidance, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. Then ultimately the destination is the fire. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And they may end up there eternally. So, we know where we began. We began in Jannah, we find ourselves on the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us the destination. We will all stand before a scale. Every single one of us, without exception, our end of the road is a scale, where our life will be measured whether we were a good or bad person. If someone asks you, are you a good person? I don't know how to answer that question. And in fact, I don't think any of us can answer that question. It is only Allah who can answer that question on the day of Qiyamah. Am I a good person? Was my time on earth more of good or more harm? Did I create good things spiritually, physically, or was my time a waste? Ultimately, only Allah knows and only Allah can decide, and that is why there's a day of judgment. No one else has the right to judge or is able to judge. And when we speak about Qiyamah, there is only six outcomes. There are six sort of repercussions. Now I'm jumping to the future. You on earth, you live your life, I die. When I stand before Allah on the day of Qiyamah, there are potentially six outcomes. There are those of the best of us who will even escape the scale. There are those who, when they come to be questioned, Allah will say, you don't need to be questioned, you have already succeeded. Your life was so good, we don't even need to test you. You can go directly to Jannah. May Allah grant us to be of that. Very few people will get there, but their life was such a testimony. They don't even need to take the exam. They don't even need to review. They go straight to Jannah. Then as for the believer who fulfilled his obligations to the best of his ability, and he avoided major sin. So he did what was compulsory on him, and he avoided the major things. He wasn't perfect, but he did the big stuff. This person goes directly to Jannah. His scale will be heavy on the right side, and he will go directly to Jannah. Then you have a believer who was deficient in his major obligations. Certain parts of what requires to be a Muslim was missing. And he might have committed a major sin, a criminal offense. This person now, even he's a believer, but his sinful side, his negative side, has heaviness in it. And now he is liable for punishment. Allah will now decide what must happen with you. Either Allah forgives, or he ascribes a limited penalty in Jahannam. When I say limited, it doesn't mean short, but I mean not an eternal penalty. This is for a believer who did not fulfill his major obligations, or he committed major sins. Then there are those believers whose good and bad cancelled out, and they go onto the Araf, and they will be standing between Jannah and Jahannam. And then you have the disbelievers, those who rejected or committed shirk. Anyone who has shirk, then Allah cancels all their good deeds, and they are liable. This is liable, it's in the hands of Allah, that they will enter Jahannam eternally. And Jannah will be made haram for them. And of course, there are those, there is a unique group of people who never heard of Islam. They never knew what to do. They never received the guidance. Remember Allah said, when I send the guidance and you follow it, then you're safe. But for those who never received the guidance, they never heard, they will be tested on Qiyamah. They will be given a sub-exam on the day of Qiyamah, and then they will be judged. Now, how do I pass the scale? And that's what we're going to discuss, inshallah, start today and continue over the next week or so. What, ya Allah, what do I need to do to pass, to survive this earth? What are the key things I need to do? Do I need to live a perfect life? Never have bad thoughts, never look at haram, never listen to haram. If that's the case, then perfection, it's impossible. None of us are going to survive. If I've lived my life, ya Allah, half my life was naughty, I didn't make salah, I didn't do anything good. Have I failed the exam already? Is there any hope for me? Ya Allah, if I'm making my 5 daily salah, is this enough? How do I know what I need to do to pass the exam? So Allah has given clear instructions and guidance. what to focus on, what to prioritize. The first thing, and the first two things that we'll speak about today and we'll continue in the next week or so, the primary objective of life. How many of us, it's a side note, how many of you have ever asked yourself or your friend who had a conversation, what is the purpose of my life? What is the most important reason why I'm here? If you don't know, if you don't know what you are doing here, then it's like the person who comes to a crossroads and he asks, which direction does this road go to? And the person says, where do you want to go? He says, I want to go anyway. I mean, I don't know where I'm going. Then you can take any road you please. You will never arrive at your destination. How do you know what Allah wants from you? What Allah wants from me? Allah very clearly tells us in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not made you, O man and jinn, except that you must worship me and have a relationship with me. If you've lived in this life and you've acquired money, you've achieved awards, you've ascended and you've won every competition, but you don't have a relationship with Allah, then you failed at your life. Your life was a failure. Your life would have been failed completely. If you have a relationship with Allah, but it is neglected, it is deficient, then you're struggling in fulfilling that purpose. The only reason why we are here is to acquire a relationship with Allah, and so that we return to Him when we meet Him face to face. There is a relationship, there is something there. And so every single person, our objective is to worship Allah. And worship doesn't just mean salah. Yes, salah is the primary form of worship, but how you engage, how you live your life. And with that, the one thing that Allah does not forgive, the one thing Allah has promised He will not pardon, on the day of Qiyamah, even the serial killer will have a chance at Allah's mercy. Even the person who committed all the zina in the world, all the haram in the world, they will have an opportunity to Allah's mercy. Allah, we know in the hadith that there will be a man who was a serial killer and Allah will forgive him. There's a hadith about that. A man who killed 99 people. But Allah has promised, for one type of sinner, do not stand before me to accept any kind of mercy, and that is the sin of shirk. Shirk is the denial of Allah's lordship. It is the rejection of Allah completely. You either commit, there are ways of committing shirk. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ Allah says to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I'm revealing to you, I'm telling you, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and your people, as I told the people before, from Nabi Adam, I said this to every nation, to every generation, لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ That if you commit shirk with me, لَيَحْبِطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ That I will nullify, cancel all your deeds. وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ And you would have lost on the day of Qiyamah. Anybody who comes to Allah actively having died upon shirk, if you committed shirk and you stopped and now you make, that's okay. Allah will forgive you, inshallah. But if you died committing shirk, shirk could be worshipping Nabi Isa, worshipping a grave, wearing an amulet for protection, turning to someone else to save you other than Allah, calling out to saints and awliya besides Allah. Anyone who comes to Allah with this, Allah will not look at that person. Allah will reject that person. So how do we commit shirk? There are those who deny the existence of Allah all completely. He doesn't exist. Or they ascribe the powers and the attributes to Allah. And the most common form of shirk is to worship other than Allah. The purpose of life, and we end off on this point, everything else is secondary. There is one cardinal thing that everyone must do. As I mention this every time in Jummah, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ Allah says, Allah warns us, don't die except that you are in a state of Islam. Make sure that is in order. When you die, make sure your Islam is intact. And the one thing that nullifies Islam is shirk. The one thing that completely ruins you is shirk. And that is what must be focused on. And inshallah, if that is right, if Allah promises, no matter how deficient you are in your deeds, there is this beautiful hadith which I end off. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying goodbye to his Sahabi Mu'ad ibn Jabal. He's sending Mu'ad to Yemen. And they are on the camel together. And the Prophet says to Mu'ad, Oh Mu'ad. And Mu'ad says, Yes, Ya Rasulullah, I'm here. He says, Mu'ad, I love you very, very much. I want you to know that. And he's advising him, when you go to Yemen, you will meet the people of Ahlul Kitab and all this. He's advising him. And he says, Oh Mu'ad, when you come back to Medina, you won't find me, you'll find my qabr. And Mu'ad is crying. And he says, Don't worry, Mu'ad. Then he says, Can I tell you a secret? And the Prophet is saying to Mu'ad, Can I tell you a secret? He says, Yes, Ya Rasulullah. He says, Oh Mu'ad, Allah, do you know what the haqq that Allah has upon us as people. What is the duty of us to Allah? And then the Prophet says, the haqq Allah has upon us is that we should worship Him alone. Tawheed, monotheism, we worship Allah alone. Then he says, and must I not tell you what haqq we have on Allah? What Allah owes us if we do that? He says, what, Ya Rasulullah? That we are guaranteed Jannah. You are guaranteed Jannah. So Muawiyah got so happy and he says, Ya Rasulullah, should I not tell the people, should I not tell the Sahaba that anybody who has Iman in his heart and he worships Allah alone and he avoids shirk, he's guaranteed Jannah? The Prophet said, no, don't tell them. It might make them lazy. Keep letting them push. Mu'adh only said this hadith on his deathbed. When he's about to die, he said, I must tell you something. I don't want to leave a hadith untold. And on his deathbed, he told this hadith. And Nabi Sallam told me that anybody who dies not having committed shirk, believing in Allah, he is guaranteed Allah will place him into Jannah. May Allah grant us a direct destination. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Just a few, one announcement, I believe. Just one announcement, inshallah. Sunday evening, 25th of February, this Sunday coming after Maghrib, will be our 15th of Sha'ban or Ruwa program, inshallah. We'll have a lecture and in preparation of Ramadan, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi sahbihi sallam. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.